Welcome to another episode of Talks from St. Peter's, a podcast bringing you live recordings of talks from our services at St. Peter's Church in Derby, a community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city.
Just over a week ago, a card arrived through the post. David looked at the envelope and said, "That's Sue's writing. Sue is my sister." We quickly opened the envelope and on the front it said, "Wedding invitation." You could have knocked us down with a feather, as we had taken her out for lunch a week before and she hadn't said a thing. I'd met Derek once and saw that the relationship was blossoming. She'd met him over the internet and hadn't really known him very long. But we are really pleased for her and to have been invited. And of course, have responded yes to the invitation. But interestingly, when I was talking to our eldest son on the phone and told him, he almost squealed with surprise and shock and shrieked, "Where's my invitation?" He'd been ill with a bad cold for over a week and hadn't checked his post. And he was going to run upstairs and check his mailbox to see if he had one too. Maybe not at the present time, as numbers are limited. Perhaps if someone drops out. The context of this parable is interesting. Jesus is at a prominent Pharisee's house. He's having a meal and he's being carefully watched. A man with dropsy is planted in front of him and they watch to see if Jesus will heal him. And Jesus asks them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But the Pharisees don't say anything. Jesus heals the man and sends him away. He challenges them about what they might do on the Sabbath to help a son of theirs or an ox if they fall into a well. Again, they are silent. They don't say anything. Jesus knows their hearts and the pride in them that won't admit they might be wrong. Some people who are self-important have a great sense of entitlement. And maybe that spills over into how they feel about their place in the kingdom and also how they treat others. If we assume that we automatically qualify, then maybe that in itself is a disqualifier. And isn't humility a key quality? Jesus said in a passage before this, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." When we were in the High Peak, David was chaplain to the mayor, a member of the church at Wormhill. We were invited to a civic meal at the Buxton Pavilion Gardens. And when we got there, we were being directed to the left and to the right. We tried to go left with the ordinary people that we knew. The ordinary people. And we're told to go right with the VIPs. So we ended up on the top table with the high sheriff and so on. And David was asked to say grace. We were definitely not expecting that honour. Jesus notices that some of the folk at the feast took the places of honour. He tells them off and says, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or rich neighbours. They might invite you back. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. They can't repay you, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This provokes one man at the table to say, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And this provokes Jesus to tell this parable of the great banquet. Jesus always challenges wrong attitudes and distorted values and turns everything on its head. The Jewish believers, the Jewish leaders believed that they were the ones who were accepted by God and would be welcome in his kingdom. They looked down on the unacceptables. They were worshipping God, not because God was worth it, but for what they got out of it. How about us? Do we think we're okay? Perhaps because we made a decision for Christ years ago? Because we do our Bible study and quiet time regularly and come to worship? Are we trusting the wrong things? God is looking for trust and obedience now. He is looking for us to continue taking up our cross and following him closely. He is looking for us to appreciate and value his invitation to the heavenly feast. Do we feel honored to receive God's invitation? I do. I feel honored to have been invited to my sister's wedding because not many will be invited. And actually, it's the first wedding of my sister's that I've been able to go to. The guests in the story didn't appreciate its value. Come on, everything is ready. And then they started to make excuses. I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. I've just got married, so I can't come. Please excuse me. These things were consuming their lives, land and property, animals, relationships, reasonable enough choices. Today, similar things can entice us away from putting God first. A career, home building, relationships, or ensuring a comfortable life in retirement. If they become all-consuming for us, there's no time to attend the heavenly banquet. Last year, the Women's World Day of Prayer service had this as its title, Come, Everything is Ready. And it included this parable. And at the preparation day, we had a little exercise to do, which made us think about what some of our excuses might be. And in the book that was provided, these were some of the suggestions. Perhaps they ring a bell with you. I have to clean out the budgie's cage. I can't come. I'm having my hair done today. I can't miss tonight's episode of my favourite soap. Thanks for the invite, though. I'm not feeling very well. I have a doctor's appointment. It's raining. I have 101 emails to answer. I really need to go shopping. It's the start of the sales and I mustn't miss the bargains. And so it went on. no time to attend the feast. Answer the invitation. It's a difficult time to discern if we are not seeking time close to God. All the more reason for us to stay close to God. At Denby, there was a couple in the village who had a large picture on the wall of Jesus sitting at a dining table with a large family, joining in with their meal. Words on the picture said, "Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the unseen listener at every conversation." And I always used to find it quite challenging when I saw that picture. How present is Christ with us? Would it make a difference to us if Christ came and joined us at our meal table? How present is he in every part of our life? We can be reassured by his invitation, yet heed the danger of missing out on the greatest invitation of all. It's free. There are no strings attached. It's glorious. It's well prepared. And everyone is invited, especially those not normally accepted. In our little breakout group, Liz shared that the first thing that struck her was God's generosity. That God wants the feast to be full. He wants the feast to be full. There's always room. The invitation in our parable was extended to misfits, the vagabonds, if you like. The master in the parable was upset and ashamed and insulted by the rejections. But that anger turned to unexpected results. His dinner table was filled with people, literally dragged in off the streets. People who could never repay the master. The poor and the needy, the untouchables. If we ignore Christ's invitation, we will find that the places at the table are taken by others. Our son Mark may find that if someone drops out of my sister's wedding, he could get a belated invitation. A challenge we are left with here is to give as many people as possible the opportunity to respond to Jesus' invitation, to share a wonderful relationship with him, whoever they are, whatever their background. It's our mission, along with these servants in the story, to search for those who would respond to Jesus' invitation. It is St. Peter's mission to do that as well. Some weeks ago on the Sunday morning Radio 4 service, there was a lovely testimony by a young woman who had been damaged at birth through a lack of oxygen. So she lived all her life with severe disability. There were so many things that she hadn't been able to do in her life. But she loved God. She had committed her life to him. But she explained that many people might think and had said to her that she was living God's second best. In the story, the late invitation. But no, she insisted she was living God's very best for her. So she valued the life that she had with Christ. She celebrated it. She'd been invited to the feast and had responded and was wholeheartedly living and embracing it to the full. May each one of us do the same. Don't let's miss out. Come, the feast is ready. Let us pray. Lord, it's been a busy day, preparing so much food for the event at church. Everything is ready now. It feels sometimes that through the ages, women have been slaving away in the kitchens, preparing feasts for others, for usually men to enjoy. The Bible is full of these stories. Abraham telling Sarah to go and make bread and roast a calf for his visitors at Mamre. Abigail making all those fruit cakes for King David. Esther producing a banquet for King Xerxes. And wicked Haman, of course. And of course, Martha making a meal for Jesus and complaining about it. But Lord, please remind me that I am blessed to have food to prepare when so many go hungry. Remind me that it is a privilege to serve like this, and what I do for others, I do as unto you. And thank you, Lord, that you have prepared a feast for me, a feast of abundant life and rich blessings. And this is all of your grace, not anything that I have done. And you call me to enjoy it, saying, come, everything is ready. The invitation is given, come, children, older folk, middle-aged, everyone. However, excuses are made with precision. Exclusion is chosen instead of inclusion. But the invitation is extended with power and grace through God's Spirit to every heart. May there be no foolish excuses. Father God, shake us out of complacency to do our part, to share your heart, your love, and tell of your forgiveness. May we sense the urgency to share your invitation with family, friends, and neighbours, and invite them into our community and to the feast. The invitation is given. Come, children, older folk, middle-aged, everyone, no matter where you have been or what you have done, the Lord invites you. He says, come.
St. Peter's is a diverse community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city. If you'd like to know more, you can find us online at stpetersderby.org.uk. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talks from St. Peter's, and we hope you will join us again for our next talk in about a week's time.